So they're going to manipulate us by technology while enhancing themselves with technology. Now, but I said, since their worldview is fundamentally wrong, and they're wrong about origins, because Darwin was wrong, and they're wrong about destiny, because atheism or whatever isms they believe are wrong, then they can't help but still work somehow within the system that God made. God originated it, and its terminus is in God, right? God is the creator of all that exists, and ultimately all of creation is oriented towards him. Rational creation, for instance, will undergo a judgment day. We have the general judgment, right? Everything came from God, and everything is going back to God, whether it likes it or not. That's how it works. So rather than be overcome by the evil that exists in the world, we have to realize what Eru Iluvatar told Melkor. And we can say this to the demons. There's nothing you can do to ruin things. Not a single blessed or cursed thing that you can do that God cannot get a greater good out of. Now, in our own person, now that's true at a macroscopic level, at a sort of cosmological level in the entire universe, but it's true in the most minute level in our own lives. And this is a truth that we need to be utterly convinced of, completely convinced of, so that in these dark times, when we see the horrific lies that are being told by politicians, and you know, there's the old joke about you can tell a politician's lying because his lips are moving, but it's worse than that now. It's somehow less funny now because the lies are just constant and epic in proportion. And a similar thing is there with the technocrats. And guess what? They're together, right? The technocrats and the politicians are sort of tethered together. And God knows who's really running the show as far as the oligarchs go. I don't pretend to have it all figured out. But the fact of the matter is, these people who think that they're better than us, just like the demons themselves, who, by the way, thought they were better than us. That's why they fell. I mean, the devil fell because he refused to have Jesus as his king and Mary as his queen. Ultimately, he rejected the incarnational economy and all that it implied, right? So the devil was kind of the primordial oligarch. And these oligarchs that we're talking about now who are screwing up society in a very explicit way, in a way now that's more discernible than it was 10 years ago even, these oligarchs are, they have that same sin. They think they're better than the rest of us, right? That's why these petty oligarchs, the little guys, the Andrew Cuomos and so forth, these governors and mayors, they have their little petty fiefdoms within the larger oligarchy, but they think they're better than us. And, eventually those guys, the low guys in the totem pole, can sort of precipitously fall, as is happening, I think, now, right now, with Andrew Cuomo, who it seems that the gods have written him off at this point. By the gods, I mean the oligarchs. Where am I going with this? We have to be utterly convinced of God's goodness. And when we're tempted to despair, when we're tempted to discouragement even, which is not as extreme as despair, we have to realize that God is good and that his goodness wins. All of creation came into existence by his goodness. All of creation was good when he made it. We aren't Manichaeans. We believe that matter, as well as spirit, was made to be good. God said after every one of the 6 days of creation, after he created all those things that he created on that day, he looked at it and said, it is good. That word in Hebrew is tov, T-O-V, like mazel tov, is congratulations. Well, it's got the word tov in it, T-O-V, good. God looked at it and saw that it was tov. Every day, every one of the 6 days, there's nothing that God made and said, oh, that's not so good. I did a bad job on that one. No, everything he made and beheld it and said, it is good. So Manichaeanism fundamentally denies the primordial revelation that we get from Moses in the book of Genesis. Now, of course, the fall happened, right? But still, there everything is still good. The transcendental quality of goodness exists in it. And moral goodness still exists in the world. God's goodness, which is overarching all of creation, of course, remains. And God still shares his goodness with creatures. You know, we still see God's goodness as beauty in a sunrise or in a sunset or in the mountains or in the streams, the babbling brook, whatever is beautiful to you, that's a reflection of God's goodness because the transcendentals ultimately are interchangeable. Huh? Truth, beauty, and goodness are all somehow an expression of being. Now, this is something which a lot of people don't like to be very philosophical about life, I understand, but this is something that we can apply to each one of ourselves intimately, not only in how we think of ourselves and how we think of sort of the big picture, but how we think of the various events of our lives and how they fit in to the big picture. So I'm going to proceed by reading a piece that I wrote this week and published on Catholicism.org. It will be linked from Reconquest.net for this show. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Premium Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie, and we're talking about our subject matter, which is Don't Forget God's Goodness. Don't forget God's goodness. So here we go with the piece I wrote called Be Strengthened in the Lord. The anxieties and troubles we undergo often vex us irrationally. As I write this, I find myself having to console a frightened dog and am therefore in a position to observe non-rationality where it remains best in a beast. Our priory dog, Huon, heard an air horn that the school headmaster has just begun to employ in an outdoor game our IHM schoolboys are playing. In Pavlovian fashion, little Huon recalled that same rare sound as the warning signal right before an earth-shaking dynamite blast, a terrible recollection from demolition work on our property some 8 years ago. So the poor little thing has curled himself up in the hem of my tunic and is shaking like a leaf while awaiting some canine eschatological event. By the way, this really happened. As I was writing this piece, I had jotted down some notes. I had written part of it. I was editing what little I had on the page. All this stuff had happened. And I said, hey, I can incorporate this in what I'm writing. Useless was my attempt to explain to him that the dreaded sound has an entirely different meaning in this context. We human beings can reason about the conventional signs we employ. Dogs cannot, not even Huon. Whereas dogs are non-rational by nature, humans are rational. But the effects of the fall often result in our acting contrary to reason and therefore acting irrationally. Whether this is due to some disordered passion or, worse, a malicious will, sins of malice are worse than sins of weakness. But I do not plan on writing about sin here, not mortal sin anyway. Rather, I wish to consider those lesser irrationalities we commit that might lead to sin or keep us from properly advancing in the life of virtue. For instance, we often find ourselves fearful or anxious, and more often than not about things that are unknowns, dreaded future disasters, merely anticipated reversals of fortune, the bad news tomorrow's mail might bring, the governor's next viral diktat, fresh apostasies, treasons, treacheries, etc. Various air horns we hear, or think we do, summon our negative emotional reactions and we become anxious. At the risk of being accused of pietism, let me say that the remedy to such irrationalities is so very simple. It is none other than God's goodness. He was good before we came into existence. He is good now, whether all is well with us or not, and he will remain so, semper idem, even tomorrow and tomorrow and centuries of tomorrows per omnia saecula saeculorum. Amen. He remains so whether our circumstances are good or not. Moreover, while we do not know what our circumstances will be from day to day, we know by faith that God is good and will remain so no matter what. Since that is the case, we should not worry. By the way, I referenced semper idem before. When I use a phrase like that, I usually link to where somebody can find its meaning. Semper idem in Latin means always the same. It's kind of a consecrated phrase in Latin. If only we could tap into that infinite goodness, right? That would be great. We can, of course. St. Paul uses a curious expression in his epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10, that I think helps to illustrate how. Quote, "Finally, brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power," end quote. Hence the name of this piece, "Be strengthened in the Lord." This is a peculiar command. The apostle does not wish that the Lord would strengthen the Ephesians, but he commands, using the imperative mood, that they themselves be strengthened. The Vulgate Latin is in the imperative too, confortamini. Specifically, it's the passive Latin, passive imperative, so it's be comforted.